Welcome and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That is our number. If you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. So, a tough week in the market, and you know the question is why when you think about all the economic news. Now, I've just recently, yesterday, recorded for, you know, several times I've done it in the past 20 years, my 10 investment commandments. Now, this one is going to go on YouTube, which is great because, you know, we shortened it so it's a little bit more, today, if you will. We have a little some visuals. We're going to have some charts and stuff, and it's very interesting. So this stuff kind of is top of mind, but this is one that kind of reminds me of that. There's always more going on out there than this bullet point of why the market's doing what it's doing. It's almost never true, and that's one of the things that when we talk about too much information coming all the time, that's there is. And I know everybody thinks they've got this handled, that it's okay, that I'm okay, but you're not. I understand what Dave's saying about too much information, but I can deal with it. I generally say I agree with what he's saying. There's too much information. People get too emotional with their decision making, and they only think that things are bad when they can't really see the whole picture. But I got it. And we all have to remind ourselves of that all the time. All the time. You know, funny, this popped in my head, and I did write it down for you today, okay? Because I wanted you to, this is a very, to my point, a quote. Clarity is the elimination of mental clutter. Agility is the elimination of physical clutter. Tranquility is the elimination of spiritual clutter. So what we do, what we think we do as human beings, right, is we want more clarity of what's going on in the world. So what we do is we don't eliminate mental clutter. We add to it. It's the dead opposite. It's a cry for more information, more data, more noise that the human nature is when it's exactly what we don't need. It's the exact opposite. And so we have so much noise occurring simultaneous right now. And if you really want to know, it's a really simple thing what's going on in the markets. It's very complex. There's many multiple levers going around. But interest rates are rising, and it's frightening the market. Interest rates are rising because we have 26% growth in the M2 money supply. I know, I felt everybody's head go back and go, whoa, I just went to sleep. What is an M2 money supply? Okay, that's the amount of money sitting in checking accounts in your pocket. We've never had 26% growth in a year. And it's different this time, but when you listen to the Fed chairman and the Treasury Department yelling, you hear them as big proponents for spending another $2 trillion. Because you know why? They think they have it. They think they can deal with this. And the market's not sure. Because all there is good news out there. Has nothing to do. It makes zero sense to send $1 out of Washington, D.C. Zero sense. But don't blow a crisis. Not if you're a tick. They can't wait to suck the last drop out of all the future generations to pay off their cronies. And I'm serious. This makes no sense. Money supply at the highest level ever, meeting with 77% reduction in cases, a couple million shots a day to add to the fact that we're clearly, even before the vaccines, heading towards herd immunity. it's the news. No wonder it's so good. GDP at 4% in the fourth quarter. 4.1 to be exact. Final revision. I'm not sure, considering we were really had a lot more cases then, why we would try to stimulate 4% GDP growth that is clearly accelerating. It makes no sense. None. Retail sales are exploding higher. Get this, 10% household income increase from the last coronavirus relief bill that just hit your mailbox in January. Unbelievable. 10%. I believe that ties the record, which was originally, or just came up short of the number one, which was last April, the first coronavirus relief. We have exploding household income, and we have, in D.C., ticks that are telling us that we have got to, it's imperative that we pass coronavirus relief, which, of course, doesn't have anything to do with coronavirus relief. Most of the money is going to be spent in 2022 to 2025. I have no idea what that is, how that's coronavirus. We don't need it. Manufacturing, housing. I already mentioned GDP. And household income are exploding higher. Exploding. And we haven't reopened. In some states, they still don't have kids in school yet. Remarkably. It's an incredible amount of money that's sloshing around out there. Now, this is all good news for why the market's going to go up, and it will. But right now, we're going through this indigestion period of concern about inflation and concern that why are we doing this? The Fed may not be able to contain this. There's $240 trillion or so dollars in debt around the world. 240 with a T. The Federal Reserve can't print enough money if people don't trust it. They can't buy enough bonds if inflation kicks in to keep rates down. I know they think they have it, but let me argue this real quick before we take a break. And I don't want to get in the weeds too far, but I want you to understand. This is not 2008. Not even close. In 2008, with QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, and all the other programs, trillions of dollars were, in fact, injected into the system. And the money supply really didn't grow. Not much. What's the difference now, and why? This is why I didn't like what Powell was talking about this week. Now, publicly, maybe he is trying to calm down the bond markets by saying they've got it and this is needed and blah, blah, blah. But the reality, it better be that he's in the background going, this is not a good idea to drop money from helicopters on an already hot economy. It might get too hot. Hopefully, he's saying that. Although it doesn't sound like it, right? It doesn't sound like it at all. But by comparing and talking about 2008, I was on a Zoom call with Ben Bernanke, and he said the same thing, and it's not true. Living 2008 and 9 in a low inflation environment where they couldn't kick in inflation because the blood-sucking ticks in D.C. who caused the crisis in the first place made it so the banks couldn't lend. So the first of all, QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, all that money went to the banks, and then they were supposed to lend. But then all of the rules that were set made it so that the banks couldn't lend. And of course, they didn't. So all they did was pump money to the banks, and then, of course, pointed their fingers at the banks. Bad people, mean people, awful people. Kill those people. And then set the rules so that they couldn't lend the money out. So it sat. To compare today to helicopters of money arriving at your household where you're not able to do anything, so all it does is pile up in the checking accounts, waiting till the economy opens, and it's opening. And it's ready to explode. And on top of that, most people are working. And we're enhancing unemployment benefits. So even if you're not working, you're making more money than when you worked. Brilliant. That's genius. I don't know why we didn't think of that one before. But anyway, all of this together says why money supply is growing 26% versus comparing it to 2008 and 2009 is ludicrous. It's not the same thing. Because, yes, money supply went to the banks, but it wasn't rotating through the system. Therefore, it's not a part of the money supply or a part of the problem of potentially an overheated economy. Okay? Economics 101. But that's what we're hearing. And so when you hear that, they're covering up, because they're not stupid. They're covering it up. It's a political move. They want to spend the money. And that's a sad thing, because it's dangerous. It is dangerous. And it's unnecessary to spend my grandkids' money today. Completely unnecessary. And very awful. Greedy, horrible, what we're doing. But most importantly to our economy, this is why you're seeing interest rates move from 0.7 to 1.5, although we pulled back to, 1.44 or something like that. But anyway, doubled. It's doubled in short order on the 10-year Treasury, which will, in fact, impact mortgage rates, borrowing rates for corporations and individuals going forward. Hopefully it's a spike, and hopefully all it would take is just a pullback of this $2 trillion. In my mind, I think that would do it and calm down the bond markets. But even in spite of that, with all this good news, the market was barely off of all-time highs and actually hit all-time highs. What was it, on Tuesday? All-time highs. We're just pulling off of them. That's how strong this market is. That's how much money there is out there going after stocks. In spite of interest rates rising a lot. And rates can go higher. They can go up quite a bit higher before they'll really impact the valuations of stocks. But it is pause for concern when we see rates jump like this. Okay? I've got to take a quick break. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you very much. I have got a busy second hour coming up. I hope you'll stick around. I've got to cover a lot of ground. It's interesting. Now that we're reopening, we're starting to see in our mailbox, and I'm sure yours, it's time for those free dinner seminars. The annuity pimps are back. And don't forget, they'll also be offering you trust advice. There'll be lawyers coming soon to a free dinner near you. So we got to talk about that a little bit, because it is really very slick stuff here. And the reason it really came up at our house instead of just going in the garbage is because my lady is going to be retiring, and she said this would be exactly the kind of information at the exact time I would want it, according to this. And of course, all it is an annuity pitch. But very slick. Very, very slick. Okay? This also brings up another one that you have to watch for, okay? We have a client. We got a call from a son. Again, one of those things that's very heart-wrenching. And the son is helping mom take care of things, but it was another attempt to separate an elderly, confused person from their money. So it's really happening out there. It really is. And on top of that, as I said, this economy is booming. We need to recognize that. We also need to recognize it's the United States of America. I mean, we can worry about everything under the sun, and we do. And we amp it up with social media and everything else in worrying about it. But you know what? We've got this little tiny SUV running around on Mars, and we put it there. That's pretty cool. That's really super cool. And we lose that and all the technology, all the advancements, how well we are living. We lose that in all this noise and angst and anger And that is sad. So I want to talk a little bit about that. What's going right here as well? We've already touched on my concerns with inflation and all. That's true. But I want to cut through a lot of this. And I think that some of us, if you will, I know what I do. I need to have smaller inputs, especially angry inputs, especially clouded inputs. I just don't need that. I need to know what's going on in the world. Yes, I need to have clarity of thought. But having more inputs does not give me clarity at all. And it isn't going to help you if we do too much. So I want to try to help center on a few things that really are going very, very well. And of course, the number one thing that is going so well, spoiler alert, we're up to 50% of the population has antibodies for corona. 50 have either had it or now been vaccinated. That's amazing. And it's growing every day. We'll be back after Fox News.